Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. In verse 10, the Word of God says, "The thief comes not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." In the original language, it's super abundantly. But the thief comes for one of these three reasons: to steal, or to kill, or to destroy. That's it right there. That's his purpose for coming. Now, he's very crafty. Genesis 3:1 tells us that he's very crafty, very subtle. He's sly. He knows what he's doing. So, when we hear that the thief comes and he steals, kills, and destroys, the question then becomes, how does he go about doing that? There's really a primary strategy. Satan is not all that creative. He's not clever. He is in his subtlety and his intelligence, yes, but he can't come up with anything original. He's only doing that which he has done over and over and over in different sort of ways. One of Satan's primary strategies is entropy. Entropy means disorder. And anybody who knows anything about the laws of thermodynamics, even on a high school level, knows that entropy increases. If everything is left to itself, entropy or disorder increases. And the natural tendency is that if things do not have some kind of an input, at least of some form of energy, then entropy will increase. The tendency in nature for things to go from an orderly state to a disorderly state. You drop a drop of food coloring into a bowl of water, and the food coloring will start to disperse through the bowl, and before long it's evenly distributed throughout the bowl. Entropy has increased. We think of evenness as being orderly, but it's not. Evenness is the ultimate disorder. So keeping things very even, very homogeneous, is the end result of entropy, disorder. Think about it. A kid has things in his room. The mother comes in and she sees everything is evenly spread out across the entire room. So his shoes, his clothes, books, toys, everything equally evenly spread out through the room. Some on the floor, some on the bed, some on the table, some on the stand. Everything evenly spread out through the room. And this kid's toys and clothes on the stand and the floor, all very even. And the mother says, "Clean up your room." What does she mean? She means put all your clothes in the closet or in the chest. Put away your toys in your toy box and put everything essentially into places where it's not all evenly spread out, but it's all gathered together in a single location or maybe two locations. And that is called order. Well, that's the same way in nature. Order is when you don't have evenness. You don't have sameness everywhere. You have difference. You have difference. Difference is actually order. This is entropy. Everything left to itself tends to a state of disorder. Disorder is uselessness. Now, Christians, when they argue with evolutionists, like to use this entropy idea, and they try to argue against evolution because everything tends to disorder. And then evolutionists rightfully tell them that's not really how it works. If you put energy into the system, then you can overcome the disorder, and that is correct. The problem is on both sides, neither one of them actually understands the argument too well. The question is not the disorder itself. And the question is not even how do you overcome the disorder. Well, it's simple. You add energy to the system. The question really is how do you utilize the energy? And the answer to that is teleonomy. Teleonomy is the ability that living systems have, living things, plants, animals, and so on. You know what living things are. To utilize the energy in their environment to overcome the entropy. For example, things break down. You break a bone. That is entropy. But your body is able to use energy and resources that ultimately came from your environment to repair the bone, to make it correct again. That is teleonomy. Teleonomy is the life force. That is what happened when the Holy Spirit breathed into man the breath of life. He breathed into man teleonomy, and man became a living soul. So when we talk about entropy, yes, entropy is very real. Entropy is unavoidable, but it's not something that cannot be overcome. Teleonomy overcomes entropy. And so for those people arguing with the evolutionists, and they say entropy, and the evolutionist says energy, and the person needs to say, no, not energy, teleonomy. Not entropy, teleonomy. Teleonomy is what keeps our structures. Teleonomy is what initiates DNA repair when it's been damaged by mutations. Teleonomy is what really gives us the quality of physical life that God had intended. That's what keeps us alive. It's teleonomy. It allows us to utilize things to maintain order. There is a spiritual version of these things. Satan loves entropy of the soul. And you see it fairly frequently. But Satan loves entropy of the soul. But Jesus came, you could, in this application, reword John 10:10, but I have come to give you teleonomy and give it to you in abundance. Where Satan comes to bring you entropy of one form or another, I have come to give you teleonomy. And there are spiritual entropy and spiritual teleonomy. Those things do exist. And Jesus talks about them. In Romans 1, in verse 17, the Word of God says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The Word of God says that the righteousness of God is revealed. Apokaluptetai is the word revealed. It's a present passive indicative. The key word here is it's passive. The righteousness of God is revealed by something. What is that something? Faith to faith. From, ek, out of faith, to, eis, toward, or in, or into, opposite of, ek, from, or out of faith, into faith. Out of faith into faith. This is the righteousness of God. Out of faith into faith. From faith to faith. Faith of the Son of God being worked in me into a faith response. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed. As it is written, the just shall live. Zisetai, future middle indicative of Zao, true life. Having the vital power in itself and exerting the same upon the soul. In other words, the life of God in a man, middle voice, the just shall live, produce the action, the just produce the action and receive the benefit of that action, middle voice, by faith. What is this describing? Herein is spiritual teleonomy. Herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. spiritual teleonomy. Then there is the other part. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Ungodliness as bayan, want of reverence toward God. In other words, familiarity toward God. Ungodliness is when I become familiar with God. Not familiar as in good acquaintance. Familiar as in the acquaintance is no longer precious. I know things so well that they are no longer dear to me. I've heard it, been there, done that, it's no longer special. You see familiarity all the time. You see it in relationships, you see it in attitudes, you see it in the way that people approach each other, approach church, approach God, approach prayer, approach pretty much everything. A lack of reverence. This is called ungodliness. And unrighteousness. Now keep in mind that in Romans 3:22, righteousness comes by faith of the Son of God. Not by my own faith, from faith to faith. Righteousness, faith of the Son of God producing a faith response in me. Out of the Son into my responses. Spiritual teleonomy. On the other hand, ungodliness and unrighteousness, lack of faith, lack of reverence out of familiarity and a lack of faith. Natural entropy of the soul. Natural entropy of the soul. We have to be careful of natural entropy of the soul. Too many people live in natural entropy of the soul because they do not operate in spiritual teleonomy. If I don't operate in spiritual teleonomy, I will operate in natural entropy. I can't help that. Those are my two options. In Hebrews 4:2, the Word of God says, "Unto us the gospel was preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." There's two things right there that the Word of God tells us. There's three all told. We'll talk about the third in a little while. There's two things right there that the Word of God tells us that teleonomy requires. When it says it did not profit them, it means it did not increase them. Teleonomy is what increases us. It allows us to utilize our resources for increase, maintenance and increase. A tree grows. A tree does not stay as a twig. Why? Teleonomy. Maintenance of what is and an increase. Likewise with us. We maintain, we keep our hearts, we guard them, we maintain our hearts, but we also grow in our capacity, we grow in our relationship with our Savior, we grow in the manifestation of Christ, we grow in His character, we grow in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We grow in Christ, we maintain what we've received and we grow. Spiritual teleonomy. If we fail to do those things, then we become increasingly corrupt in our soul. In other words, carnality sets in. Natural thinking sets in. Insecurity, natural personality, emotionalism sets in. All these things within the believer are natural entropy. Whenever I go to the natural, I go into entropy. Whenever I go into the spiritual, I go toward teleonomy. We maintain teleonomy in order to avoid entropy. If we fail to maintain teleonomy, we will enter entropy. There's nothing that you have to do to enter entropy. But you do have to make choices to stay with teleonomy. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 10, after Adam and Eve had eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, consider the results. The eyes of them were both opened. That means their natural perception, apart from the perception that they had prior, which was out of the definition of God, natural perception was opened. In other words, they started to enter that which was entropy through their natural way of looking at things. And they knew that they were naked. Why did they know they were naked now all of a sudden? Were they unaware that they had no clothes on before? And the fact of the matter is, it didn't really even occur to them. Because they were not self-oriented. They didn't become self-conscious because they were God-conscious. Their own condition was not a thought in their mind. What God gave them, what God said to them, that was their frame of reference. They were not the source of their frame of reference, nor the center of it. In entropy, a person becomes the center of their own frame of reference. In nature, an object enters entropy when their teleonomy ceases to function and it undergoes decay. For example, cut a plant, a flower. It is still receiving energy, perhaps. Lay it down in the sun next to a flower that has not been cut. It will receive energy. It may be rained upon. You can even dip it in water, depending on certain types of plants. It's not going to do anything. It's simply going to shrivel up and go away because it stopped being able to utilize its resources. So long as it was planted and uncut, it had teleonomy whereby it could utilize its resources. But it's no longer able to utilize resources. A branch, cut a branch off of a tree. The chemistry is identical, but it can no longer utilize the resources. Maybe you even have leaves on the tree to produce the sugars that the tree requires in order to build its structures. But you no longer have the ability, even if you put water all over this branch, you no longer have the ability to utilize the resources because entropy has set in. Teleonomy has disappeared. Satan wants us to get into a place of self-occupation so that he can bring entropy into our soul. He is very successful with that. Just make them self-occupied, and all of a sudden they're aware of things that are pertaining to self. How does that manifest itself? Carnality. Any type of form, obvious or subtle, of carnality comes out of self-orientation. Whether it's carnality of the self-righteous type or the carnality of open sin, it is still carnality. Satan wants to get us into this entropy by removing us from teleonomy. When Satan attacked in the garden the Word of God and the character of God, what he was doing was he was separating them from their source of teleonomy. And he was luring them to a source of entropy. And when they enter that source of entropy by eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, becoming self-conscious, self-oriented, then acting upon it, and that's where decay took place in their soul. Now they were self-conscious, and for the first time they were afraid of the presence of God. Why were they afraid of the presence of God? He made them. He created them. He knew them. He knew they were naked. He made them naked. And yet now they were afraid of the presence of God because they were naked. And the problem wasn't even that they were naked. In their perception, which was now corrupt, they thought the problem was naked. The problem was self-conscious and thereby self-oriented. In that self-conscious, self-oriented state, they remove themselves from the presence of God. And that is the outcome of entropy. Remove yourself from the presence of God. You take someone, for example, who doesn't come to church for an extended period of time. Many people have had this experience. It becomes very difficult for them to return. And of course, Satan will project on all that stuff too. But the fact of the matter is, the difficulty comes out of the fact that they have been living in entropy without even realizing it, because they've removed themselves from their source of teleonomy. And they get very self-conscious about coming back, and maybe they expect people to say things or expect awkwardness, and they feel like there's going to have to be this ice breaking and all this stuff. And then they get there and they're loved up and they're welcome and nobody makes anything of it. Oh, good to see you. How you doing? You know, and that's the end of the story. And they're a little bit surprised and a lot of bit relieved. And next week it's easier. And then a couple of weeks later, it's like they have never been gone. Why? Because they are now back to their source of teleonomy so they can overcome the entropy. And all that stuff is resolved. Anytime I enter into self-consciousness, self-orientation, entropy will take over in the soul. It's natural entropy. Satan depends on natural entropy. He destroys civilizations through entropy, disorder. Where right is called wrong and wrong is called right, and everything goes that is immoral or corrupt or any way degenerate, you can't say a word about any of it. And history has shown us over and over that that is exactly the way it works. Rome fell that way after 1,000-some-odd-year greatness. And when entropy set in, Rome ended. Our country is in serious entropy, and our country is not the only one. Really, the whole world is in serious entropy. Where right is called wrong, and wrong is called right, and good is called evil, and evil is called good. And confusion sets into the point where you can't even figure out which bathroom to use. It was in the news again today. That's confusion. That's entropy. It's entropy. What we need is a healthy dose of teleonomy. In Ezekiel 7:26, the Word of God says, "Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients." This is the outcome. This is the outcome of entropy. Mischief. The word hova, it means ruin, disaster, and calamity, shall come upon hova. Rumor. Semua. Devastating news. Shall come upon devastating news. Then shall they seek a vision. The word vision is chazon, it's divine instruction. Then shall they seek divine instruction from the prophet, Nabi, is the preacher. They want divine instruction from the preacher. But the law, the word of God, shall perish, abad, be exterminated or vanish or be lost from the priest. And counsel from the ancient Zaken. Simply elders. Counsel from the Zaken. From the elders. The word of God is gone. In the latter days, truth will fall into the streets. So the word of God tells us. We're there. I don't say that angry. So many people are angry about it. The Bible tells us it's going to happen. Don't be angry about it. It's just the way God said it would be. But it is grievous. Truth falls into the street, entropy. Teleonomy is disposed of. This happened to Saul in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel gave him definition from God, and Saul didn't have a faith response. And the result was that he lost the kingdom. He entered into entropy. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Karzon, divine instruction. Perish, para, Nifal imperfect, that means it continues to happen. It's a repetitive action. The people continually are loosened of restraint. The Word of God, the love of God, no longer constrains them. The Holy Spirit no longer motivates them. He can no longer direct them because of entropy. But then it continues, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. Keepeth, shamar, preserve, guard, and protect. You preserve the Word of God in your heart. You guard it and protect it. And it produces teleonomy. This is why we don't depart from the old paths. Because the old paths are where teleonomy comes from. You see it all the time. In Christian churches, people depart from the old paths. Not from laws, but from truth. I was recently listening to a famous preacher. I was surprised by what he said. He was trying to encourage people not to worry about it when somebody said evil against them. He said, God will protect you and God will protect your reputation. God didn't protect Jesus' reputation. Why do you think he's going to protect yours? He made himself of no reputation, the Word of God says. Paul said, I count everything one great big loss, including his reputation. But you see, it's this feel-good mentality. And people stray off the old paths because they want something that appeals to their emotions or their intellect or what have you, and they stray off the old paths for the sake of a feeling. And so entropy sets in. Why do you think if you humble yourself and pray, God will heal your land? Because you go back to teleonomy, away from entropy, and enter back into teleonomy. And teleonomy can overcome entropy. It's like this. You have somebody who's ill, seriously ill, deathly ill. Maybe they have a very bad case of pneumonia. This is really entropy setting in because their body cannot overcome. They're not able to utilize their resources sufficiently to overcome. But then the doctor comes and he gives them a shot of antibiotic medications and he helps their teleonomy. And though they were at death's door, they survive and they get healthy and vibrant and strong again. It's like that. If you humble yourselves and pray, God overcomes a nation's entropy and brings in teleonomy. It comes with the Word of God. Now here's the thing about that. In Psalm 34:2, it's the humble that hear the Word of God. Romans 10:17 tells us that we have faith through hearing of the Word. But only the humble will hear. And that's the third component that's necessary for teleonomy. Humility to hear. Humility to receive. Humility to respond. Humility. You see, the whole thing about self-orientation that brings that corrupting, decaying entropy, it's that it's pride. But humility comes in. Humility is when I live in the full consciousness of God. That's really what humility is about. I live in the consciousness of God. You see, Adam and Eve went from humility to pride. They went from God consciousness and consciousness of His Word to self-consciousness and that is pride. Pride is always self-consciousness, self-orientation, self. There is where pride comes in. Humility is required for teleonomy, and pride will cause entropy. Always works that way. It always works that way. Humility, faith, the Word of God. You see, people think that those little things don't matter. Those areas of carnality, that they don't matter. Well, I'll just confess them and they'll be the end of that. And yes, as far as that goes, it will. But you see, you've entered at least for a season this time of entropy, and it makes a difference. Had we stayed humble before God, we would have never had to deal with the decay of entropy. But the entropy, here's the thing about it. It spreads. It spreads. And that's really a great danger of entropy. And this is why it's such a tool that Satan uses. Let's say that you have a Christian who is carnal. By carnal, I mean they're not Word of God oriented. I'm not talking about law oriented. I wish I could separate that thought, because I know every time I say that, somebody thinks, oh, law, commandments. Nothing to do with law, nothing to do with commandments. Is the John 17:17 truth from God that sanctifies? Is the Romans 4:4 divine application of the Word of God called in the original Rhema, which comes from the Holy Spirit that we live by? There's our source of teleonomy. Please learn this. Please learn this. The Word of God tells us to cast down imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge, the doctrine, the Word of God, the knowledge of Christ, and then bring every thought into captivity, and then revenge disobedience with obedience. That takes mental discipline. If you find yourself entering into carnality, do not give yourself permission that God does not give you. People give themselves all kind of permission that God does not give them. God never said it's okay to live in carnality. God says, live in the Spirit of life. Live by faith. Live by the righteousness that comes by faith responses. He never said, go ahead and live in your carnality. We don't have that permission from God, yet people do it all the time. Here's the point of this. Don't enter into that entropy. Here's the thing about entropy. Let's say that a tree has an area where teleonomy does not prevail, and a branch starts to rot. That's the problem. Things in your life can start to rot. Things in your life can start to fall apart. The branch can fall down. Leaves come off of it. They don't grow back. Fruit leaves. And it doesn't grow again. And you can try to sustain that tree, and you can fertilize it, and you can water it, and you can do whatever. You can even cut off the bad parts if it's in the roots and open it up to air and hope that it recovers, and sometimes it does, but it's not the same anymore. It could have been better. It could have been as it was supposed to be. Not as God had to repair it into. Entropy is destructive. People enter into carnality and they kind of wave it off and say, oh, I'll confess it and I'll be fine again. Yes, before God you will be utterly restored, but it's not going to be without its effects. It can be destructive. Relationships are sometimes utterly destroyed by carnality. And though, yes, a person can go back into, for example, fellowship and relationship and get right with God, yes, but it has been damaged. And that's not saying God can't repair, but damage seldom results in things being the way they were supposed to be. Don't enter there. You get temptations to enter into entropy, don't go there. Don't go there. You get temptations toward carnality, you get temptations toward sin, you get temptations toward emotionalism, you get temptations toward self-indulgence, you get temptations toward self-centeredness, you get temptations toward anger, you get temptations toward your moods, you get temptations toward any number of things. They are all manifestations of carnality that brings entropy, and the entropy does damage. Don't go there. How do you avoid it? A little mental discipline. Come on, get some guts, get some backbone. Be a mature man or a mature woman. Grow up a little bit and be what God had intended and created you to be. And stop receiving the lie from the devil that this is just the way you are. Show me one person who was made to be that way by God. No, this is what entropy has resulted in your life. Not this is the way I am. I humble myself and I turn to the Word. I humble myself and I turn to the Word and I start living in faith responses with mental discipline. Faith response always requires some element of mental discipline. Be a little bit tough with yourself. Tough with your mood. A little bit of tough with the way you feel. A little bit of toughness.
Well, I'm in a bad mood. I just can't figure it out.
Well, then knock it off. You're there because you indulge it. Knock it off. A little humility would work for you. A little bit of maturity would work for you. By the way, it's impossible to have maturity without humility. Growing up would work for you. Children live that way, not adults. Nowadays, adults live that way because they're like children. It's all entropy. It's all entropy. And it leads to misery and depression. Sometimes people even kill themselves because of entropy. These are all kinds of problems. Broken homes, broken families, broken relationships, separation from fellowship with God. Church splits come from entropy. Instead, just get some guts and think right with God. You have the ability, use it. A little humility worked in. Where you don't give yourself rights, God denies you. Before long, you start realizing, oh, you're actually enjoying your life. Because you're no longer self-indulgent. You see, here's the thing. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. There's no good thing in you. You've got an old sin nature. What happy thing do you have to look to in your self-occupation? And you wonder why you're miserable. You're miserable because you're self-occupied. Stop being self-occupied, you'll be a lot happier. You see, the humble will hear and what? Be glad. They'll hear and they will be glad. Because teleonomy comes and it gives life to the soul. Teleonomy comes and it repairs the parts that have been damaged and broken and worn down and tired and angry and frustrated and insecure and all this stuff that people get into. And it takes away the entropy of carnality and brings in healing. But it doesn't come without a decision. You can drift into entropy. Teleonomy always requires a decision. So make your decision. Amen.